Amen. Okay, it's first term back, first week of term. We've finished the interviews, had 5 weeks of interviews, which personally I really enjoyed hearing the stories and different individuals in the church. A number are away today, on the way to a wedding, which we've heard about, and even more will be away next week in America. I can't believe how many are going, actually, for the wedding. So we're going to have I'm starting today with just a message I want to bring on the Father's heart. Keith will be sharing following week, and then we'll be picking up the themes again later on in the year. But I wanted to talk today, on this first day of term, if you like, about catching the heart of the Father. You see, when Jesus was here, the disciples on one occasion, they said to him, "You say you're going to the Father, show us the Father, show us the Father." And Jesus said to them, "Look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And that's quite an incredible statement to make, isn't it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So really, Jesus was saying that what I did, what I said, how I reacted, when I got angry, when I showed compassion, that really was showing the heart of the Father. That was revealing the Father to you. And just as Jesus came to show what Father God was really like and to draw people to him, so I believe we are called to do the same. Is that right? That's what the church is here for. Now, people have wrong perspectives and arguments in people's minds about Father God. And we need to pull down those arguments, and some of those arguments are inside the church and some of those are outside the church. And just in 25, 30 minutes today, I'm not going to be able to do justice, but I just want to say, you know, many obviously see God, they see God as an invisible God, a distant entity, maybe a force or a power which set the universe into motion and has just held back since then and has become pretty much non-existent. They would say, "Well, I believe in God, but I don't know what he looks like. I can't explain, I can't understand." Or maybe others see him as a deity out there somewhere, and he demands obedience and worship. One who's to be feared, one who's holy, and he judges all who fall short. We would be scared of such a deity, and we should be scared to approach him. And in fact, in some Old Testament passages, God is described in fearful terms, pretty scary pictures of thunder and lightning and fire and smoke surrounding his presence. We even get stories of those which thought, "Well, I can do what the priests can do. I will come and minister to the Lord." And they get consumed and the earth swallows them up. Or they become leprous. And on one occasion when the Ark of the Covenant was being transported to Jerusalem on a cart, and the oxen stumbled and the Ark was about to slip, somebody merely just went out to steady the Ark and was immediately smoked and killed. No wonder there was a fear of God. Yeah? And most of what I've said there is all true. And that is the God that we worship. He's not some distant entity, but most of what I've said is true. He is awesome. He's to be feared. But also we need to hold into tension. We can't deny that side of God. That is the powerful, awesome, incredible God which we serve. But we also need to hold into tension that God who's revealed more in the New Testament as full of love, full of mercy and grace. When I heard Jeanette sharing her testimony, you know, I had tears in my... I was just welling up emotionally, thinking how hard to forgive when you've lost your family, when terrible things have been done, when a nation has been torn apart, how hard to forgive. And yet, that's the sort of God that we have, one who is able to forgive and gives us the grace to forgive. One who is compassionate and kind, and his faithfulness reaches to the skies. One who is not a distant entity, but he's Papa God. He's Father God. And he's good all the time. And so we can't deny the awesome, fearful side of God and just want to replace it with a nice, cozy, comfortable God. We need to hold both into tension. And the church is called to demonstrate the Father heart of God. You know, I've been reading through the Bible in a Year thing. I've probably mentioned it a few times. I find it really good, actually. And we've been going through Psalms, and we're getting towards, well, we're past now, the Psalm 100s, and in the 90s there. And the psalmist encourages all creation to sing and rejoice because God is coming to judge. You know, when I think of God as a judge, or when many of us think of God as a judge, we think back to that awesome, frightening God who's just going to be pointing the finger and condemning and everything else. But the psalmist says, let creation rejoice, let everybody rejoice, because he's good. And I just want to quickly add in here, judgment is good. It's not something that we need to fear as children of God. When he comes, the psalmist said, he's coming to put right what has been spoilt. He's coming to fix what's been broken. He's coming to punish the sinner and those who continue to rebel and sow hatred and murder. And there's so much of it today. And do you know what? Every murderer, every person that's beheaded a Christian or somebody else, they will all be held account because there's a good judge coming. Judgment is good. And he's coming to reward all those who've done good. So I want to say, because we have a good God, we have nothing to fear about judgment. He's good, amen, all the time. And so, yes, God's holy, and he's to be feared, but he's full of compassion and grace too. And John tells us Jesus was full of grace and truth, just like his Father. And that is how I believe we should be too. Are you with me? So we hold into tension God. And I want to share something of his heart today. And this was just a little thought that came to me. So I want to refer to Mark chapter 3, verse 13. This is when Jesus, now calling his 12 disciples, it says, he went up onto a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And it's in that, those middle verses there, in verse 14, I believe we see something of the heart of the Father expressed again. Jesus called his disciples to be with him. Father is looking for everyone to be with him. Father is looking for intimacy and fellowship and communion. And Jesus called the disciples to be with him, but then to send them out too. And I think if we try to separate fellowship and mission, we break the heart of God. Because the heart of God is that all should enjoy intimacy and fellowship and communion with the Father. That's God's heart. That's God's plan. So Jesus called them to be with him. Father calls us to be with him. He so longs for fellowship, for communion, for intimacy. It's that which got broken when sin came into the world. Father, I think just as much as Adam and Eve would have looked forward to that time in the cool of the day when God would come down and walk and have fellowship with creation, it got broken because sin came into the world. But it's the longing of his heart, and always has been, that you and I, that the whole of his creation could be in right relationship and fellowship with him. And that's why he came. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we could be restored and reconciled back to God. You see, fellowship, intimacy, communion, and at least while we're here on earth, mission, we can't separate. Being with and being sent express the Father's heart. Do you want to know the Father's heart? Do you want to express it? It's about being with him, and it's about being sent by him. You see, if we just settle for a life of fellowship with each other, enjoying each other's company, having nice, cozy cells, nice in-house events, we've really missed something really poignant in God's heart. Sure, relationships together are important. We are brothers and sisters because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. Or if we just settle for a nice, cozy relationship with God. Nice worship services. Well done, Matt. Some good songs today. Encounters. Just times of feeling God's presence. Times of soaking. Times of seeking his face. If that's all we think life is about here, we too have missed the heart of God. You see, God's longing for intimacy. But coming out of intimacy, we need to catch his heart for a lost and broken world. It's true, Mary chose the better thing, Jesus said. When her sister was rushing around, I'm the Martha, I would be doing that. You know, I've got Jesus here. I want to make it nice. I want the lighting to look good. I want the carpet to be clean. I want the dishwasher to work properly. You know, I'd be wanting to make sure everything was really nice and right for Jesus. And Martha gets all upset and says, but look, can't you get Mary to help? And Jesus actually said, look, she's chosen the better thing. Just sitting here at my feet. And there is that place, and there's an important place, because that's what God the Father enjoys, intimacy, fellowship with his children and with his people. We're quite a busy church. I do say, I don't like us to say that from up here, but you know, anyhow. And one of the things was, you know, face-to-face, oh, yet another activity. But do you know what? I just love the principle of face-to-face. Because face-to-face isn't like another activity of doing. It's another activity of stopping. Face-to-face is just an opportunity in the midst of all the busyness of reaching out and loving and leading and cells and everything else, just to come and say, but God, I'm here. Just wash over me. I love you. I'm not here to seek your hand. I'm not here to get you to answer any prayers of mine. I'm just coming to just lie at your feet for a couple of hours, just to give my life back to you, to receive from you, to give to you. I just love that principle. In the midst of busyness, to find times like that. John, Jackie, wherever you are, we need face-to-face back on again. So, ultimately, the heart of the Father, that we should love him and enjoy a relationship with him. But I want to tell you something. He's not satisfied. Like Jesus, he wants to send us out. You see, he's not satisfied with just 250 people here in the pavilion. He's not satisfied with a few thousand people meeting in congregations across Reading. There's 250,000 people living in this town. And he's come for them. And he wants relationship. And he wants fellowship with them too. He gave his son Jesus to die on that cross, to release forgiveness, to restore, to make it possible for them to have a life of purpose in God. He gave everything. The price has been paid. All that separated us from God has been dealt with. He didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for you. He didn't just die for even 60 million people in the UK. He died for the whole world. And he wants the whole world to know. And if we want to catch the heart of the Father, we need to catch his heart for the world too. Amen. Amen. That's why he chose 12. He chose them for fellowship, yes, but he chose them to send them out. Jesus burned with a passion for the lost. His heart was full of compassion for the lost. He tells Zacchaeus, do you remember the little guy? Wanted to see what was happening, climbed a sycamore tree. And he comes to Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the purpose of Jesus. He came to express the Father's heart and love by seeking and saving that which was lost. And as we begin this autumn term, I want to remind you really of the Father's heart. Of his longing for all creation, of his desire for a big family, drawn from every tribe, every tongue, every people group. He wants to enjoy fellowship with his world, sins forgiven, and eternal life received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like you to, I just want to read, I'm going to say turn to me. We don't turn these days, do we? We just have it up on the screen. I want to read from Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just brought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' No excuses, Simon. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you've ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full.'" I want to say last spring, that is the heart of the Father. That his house will be full. He's prepared a great feast for everyone. He has spared no expense. He wants everyone to enjoy this free gift of salvation, of healing, of freedom, of forgiveness of sins. He's done all the preparation. There's plenty of room. All that's left is to fill up the house. And they all make excuses. You know, we live in part of the world where, well, let's put it the other way. In different parts of the world, people are more desperate for God, more open for God, a greater perceived need of God. Often much more responsive to the gospel, but we have a big challenge. We live in a society which, by and large, doesn't see the need of God anymore. We live in quite a prosperous town, prosperous country in the world, don't we? And we'll hear their excuses whenever we invite them to an event or something. Let me just build up my business first. I'm just a little bit busy at the moment. Well, having taken this promotion, you know, I'm often not back now from work until 8 o'clock every night. You know, please excuse me, I'm not going to be able to make it. Well, you know, while the children are young and small, I need to spend my time with them. They're not going to be young forever. I'm sorry, maybe another time when they're a little bit older. Well, once I've got my degree, you know, then I'll be able to think more about God. But right now, I've got my studying to do. We make excuses. Can't come then. Coronation Street's on. Reading are playing. Sorry, you have to find another time. Oh, nope, sorry, it's family night. Can't come on that night, family night. But do you catch his heart? He says to his servant, got angry actually. He says, look, okay, move on. Go everywhere. Tell everyone. Bring in those who've been rejected. Bring in those who've been downtrodden. Those who've been abused by society. Those who nobody else wants to invite. There's a feast is prepared. A feast is ready. And there's still room in my house. That's his heart. And I want to say, Life Spring, we must not settle. We must not stop. Some accuse us, they say, all you are interested in your church is about numbers. I tell you, we count souls because souls count. You ask God. He counts souls because every soul counts. And if we catch the heart of the Father, souls will burn in our hearts too. And if you haven't got souls burning in your heart, it's not because he hasn't. It's because we've either misunderstood or there's a hardness there which the Lord wants to deal with. So he sends his servant out again because he is not satisfied. He wants a full house. Go and compel them, he says. My son died for everyone. They need to be invited. They need to hear. You know, some come up to me and they say, Nev, when my heart is touched, then I'll be able to go. Others might say, you know, I really haven't got that heart of love or compassion which I need. A little bit more prayer, I'm sure. They've been telling me this for years. Or, well, if I responded now, I would really only be doing it, Nev, because of your words and not really because I've got a heart to do it for God. I want to say, they're all rubbish excuses. They're all rubbish excuses. It's not about your heart. It's about his heart. We need to understand that. It's not about your hard heart, my hard heart. It's about his soft heart for the whole world. And the heart of a father who's prepared an amazing banquet which cost him everything. And if your heart isn't moved with compassion for the lost, and maybe mine's not moved enough either, at least out of obedience and love for the Father, we need to go. Can you agree with me on that? At least out of our love and obedience to the Father, we need to go. The servant was just sent. It doesn't say he had his heart. He was obedient, and he went and did what the Father called him to do. It's about his heart. And so, Life Spring, I want to say this is our vision. It's to win souls, and it's to make disciples. Yes, we can have some nice activities in this place. Yes, we can have some nice worship here. Yes, we can have some nice words spoken from time to time. We could have a beautiful building. But the church's biggest challenge is not all of that. The church's biggest challenge is still the Great Commission to go and to make disciples. I'm just talking about the first step today, going, because we've got a vision to win. We've got a vision to win 100 souls. Well, actually, it's less than that, and it's in less than a year. Because I believe it's his heart. You know, don't get caught up with me on 100. What if we win 80? What if we win 70? Oh, look, he wants the whole world. What if we win 200? He wants the whole world. But we've got to go. We've got to make him known. We've got to share the heart of the gospel. And I just wanted to say to us, this has to be our main focus. I love all the different ministries which happen in this place. I love, well, I won't mention them all, so I'm bound to miss some out, but whether it be youth and the community and the marriage stuff and family stuff, I love all the stuff which is happening here in this place. But our main goal is to go and make disciples. That's why we need a bigger building. We were talking about last week, not moving from here, by the way, just extending it, making full use of it. It's not just to have, oh, we've got a bigger building now. He wants a full house. And I'm not talking about 300 here. I'm talking about 600, 700. And he still won't be satisfied because there's a wee room for more. When we go to two services, we said we were going back to one service for now. But when we go back to two services and three services, it will be to make room for more because that's his heart. That's what he wants. We touched last week on putting on an event called The Banquet. This is the parable which I've taken it from, just like the Father did. And we're going to put on something that people can come and hear the gospel, and they can come and hear the good news, and they can come and understand the message of salvation. And there'll be some good music, and there'll be some good media, and there'll be some good other things. There'll be a concert feel to it, we hope and think. But we want to invite everybody to come, and it'll be worth coming to, because people need to hear, and people need to see that God has got such a glorious, incredible plan for their life, and they too can find a Savior. So church, we need to pray. We need to be focused. We need to be obedient. We have been entrusted with an amazing vision. I want to encourage us, let's believe for a great harvest of souls. Let's work hard. Let's catch the heart of the Father, or at the very least, just in obedience to the heart of the Father. Do what he's called us to do so that we can share his love, make him known, and fill up the house for his glory, because he wants a full house. Amen. Hallelujah. Shabababarabasando. Can we just stand together, church? I realize that what I've shared will be a challenge to some. realize what I've shared isn't necessarily new. Luke and Nikki are leading a team to put on Alpha in the next few weeks. There'll be hundreds and hundreds of leaflets to deliver, but you know, it's not just about delivering leaflets, it is about inviting, but it's about catching the Father's heart. We hope to put on an event in November and in December here so we can invite people too. CCA want to advertise down the Oxford Road. We want to give people the opportunity to come and hear the gospel in a relevant way. It's not just about numbers, but every soul counts. It's not just about a big church. Actually, it's not about a big church at all. But it is about a full house. It's about people finding faith more and more. That's God's heart. The Lord has given us an amazing facility here, an amazing part of Reading. I really just want to encourage us, LifeSpring, members of LifeSpring, can we commit to a vision to do all that we can? We can't win the loss, but we can make the invitations. Just Jesus wins, Jesus saves. He's the only one. But we can do the rest. We can provide, we can facilitate, we can serve. I'd like us to pray that the gospel becomes central in our thinking and in our thoughts, our activities. I'd like ourselves to see more and more people finding faith, finding salvation. I'd like Sundays to be a place where people can give their lives to the Lord every week. But I feel we need more opportunities too. Not just coming out of a message that I've shared with you today, but coming out of a fresh understanding, this really is the Father's heart. He's longing for intimacy, fellowship. But he's longing for the world to know. So, Father, as we come before you, I want to thank you. That through this story, we just see afresh something of the heart of the Father. And I want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you do something afresh in our hearts. Put a fire, put a passion, put a love fresh in our hearts, that we might be those willing servants who go out the very least to make the invitations. Give us the words to say, Lord, that we might fill this house up for you, that this house will be too small, because there are multitudes and multitudes that you want us to reach. I realize today's a message to those who are members here. I'm sure there's application outside of that. Guys, can we make this a high priority? Do you believe this is what I'm saying is true? This is the Father's heart, isn't it? Have a full house. That's his heart. That's what he's burning for. That's why he sent Jesus. I realize there could be some here today that you've maybe been invited, or you may just turned up and you don't really know who Jesus is. You've seen some worship, you've heard me talk a little bit today, but you think, well, if I, those testimonies which, you know, their lives have been changed, I'd like to give my life to Jesus too. I'd like him to make a difference. By the way, we've gone up from 4 to 5 baptisms already, but there'll be a testimony at the river, I think. But there might be somebody here. I just don't want to lose that opportunity that says, help me find Jesus. Help me. I need a Savior too. If you'd like to just raise your hand if that would apply to you. Anybody here this morning? Okay. Matt, I don't know what song we've got to end, but if we could have something good. I just want to say, church, I don't know. I just believe he wants to impart something right now. Just impart something to us. Oh, keep that music going, that's good. No. I need to give opportunity for people to come up for prayer. Yeah, keep it going. I have some music, but we've got some prayers here, ministry team here. Can we have some music? I think we've probably missed that bit. Okay, let's have a song. Matt, thank you. Come back for that.